Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week here on the Hoosier Report. We are live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and glad to have you with us. It's obviously another week with no live sports, but somehow, some way, we find plenty of stuff to talk to, lots of great guests, and going to continue down the same path we've been going down here in recent weeks since the coronavirus absolutely has changed everything we know. And really everything that we do. And speaking of that, we always begin the show with an update, what the latest is, especially how it's affecting our state and our immediate area. And I tell you what, I think this week, as we have been prepared by leaders from Washington or from our own governor or even from Governor Beshear across the river, the next few weeks, really starting this week, I think later in the week, they expect some tough times as far as cases, deaths, perhaps even issues with the healthcare system. We've seen it overseas. We've seen it now in New York City. And I guess the case remains to be seen in the coming weeks as this thing reaches an ultimate surge point. How bad? We know it's affecting everybody. We know it's going to affect us here locally. But how bad ultimately does it affect the Hoosier State? How bad does it affect Kentuckiana? Our counties here locally, Clark and Floyd County. So I think we'll know, and this is probably true every week as this thing moves forward, but we'll know more this week about that. But obviously kind of bracing for some serious times, less trips out, only supposed to be out right now for essential trips. Is the trip to the grocery store even really necessary, or do you have plenty of stuff that you can get by on? Maybe it's just not your favorites. That sounds like the tone of what we're being told and where this is at and why it is so, so very important to stay in and to stay out of unnecessary trips and unnecessary crowds and things of that nature. I do know that three natives of Floyd County currently living in the county have now died from COVID-19 as of this morning. Floyd County has tested 132 positive cases in Floyd County. They've administered 862 tests, but of those 132 positive cases, 58 of that 102 are Floyd County residents. Clark County, they've got 71 cases of Clark County residents as of 10 a.m. this morning. This is all coming from the News and Tribune, and 4 deaths now in Clark County. So you could say 7 deaths related somehow, some way, to COVID-19 patients. 7 deaths here locally. And obviously, unfortunately, it sounds like, just based on what we know about numbers and how serious this is, especially for older folks and those with underlying conditions, even some young folks. I mentioned last week that Jody Demling, a great media member, someone I've known for years, had to be put on a ventilator. It was more out of precautionary reasons, according to his wife. She's been putting out great updates for the public, so I'm not sharing anything that's family business or anything like that. But there's still lots of hope and maybe even some improvements in some of her recent updates. But of all ages, you got to be careful. You got to be ready for this thing. As far as from a state perspective, you know, I kind of feel guilty. We want to keep you informed. We want to include this in our conversation, how COVID-19 affects sports and how it affects life and how serious it is to pay attention to. But, you know, normally we start the show off with last night's result or with some sort of scoreboard or, you know, something of that nature These are not good numbers. These are not numbers we're saying, oh my, look at what it's jumped up to today. These are for public information, maybe to catch your attention a little bit. But Indiana now at 4,944 cases, 4,944 total positive cases in the state, 139 deaths, and a total, according to the state that they've got recorded, 26,191 people have been tested in our state. So some concerning times, no question about it, and we've got some tough times ahead, especially it sounds like in the next few immediate weeks. There are different models and projections out there that tell you when Indiana or when Kentucky might crest or might reach a peak in this thing. Some say later in April, some say in May. I think one has Indiana ahead of Kentucky as far as when it will peak. One has Kentucky later into May, while Indiana might be late April. Who knows right now? But I do think that we're learning more. It sounds like the government is becoming more and more prepared at all levels as this thing goes on. And hopefully, there have been, hopefully, again, I say the word hopefully, somewhat of a stabilization in some of the real hot spots in our country. The cases might stay near the same each day, the new cases, even deaths may stay near the same each day, but it's not going up, and that's a positive thing, so we'll have to track that moving forward. But no question about it, some very concerning times here as we move forward. But glad to have you with us. If there's any sense of normalcy, we hope it's this program for you. We're going to have on local guests. We're going to talk sports. Yeah, we're doing some non-sports things a little bit, but we're still keeping a great focus on sports as well, and we're glad to have you with us today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Lots to do in this show, including a ton of stuff to get done here in segment one, so make sure you keep it with us. Coming up here in just a few moments, we have our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday show, and interesting to say, we've got some good news for Jeffersonville High School. We know Nan Garcia on the girls' side has already been named an Indiana All-Star. Obviously, we have no idea if those games are going to be played in early June. If I'm a betting person, I say no, they don't get played, but who knows? There's been no decision, nothing official on that yet. But the good news today is another All-Star. You can guess who it is on the boys' side coming out of Jeffersonville. We'll cover that. We'll talk a little IU football. They got another commitment over the weekend as well. A transfer from IU basketball that has a Southern Indiana connection. We'll tell you about our virtual skills and drills program for kids and basketball that we have for you today. It's day 10 of 15. We've had some tremendous videos, and we'll tell you a little bit more about today's video in case you've got a youngster that is doing this program or wants to check out this program. We'll give you that daily reminder coming up here in just a few moments as well. And then later in the segment, Dugan Ryan, he's the general manager, the owner of the Big X. He joins us. We've got some good news. We've got some important announcements to make, and Dugan has made a lot of those announcements over the years about this station, some of the, we think, positive changes, even getting the old WXVW call letters back. That was something we announced on this program and many other things over the years, and so excited that he's with us today. I know that he has some news that he's excited to share with you, his Southern Indiana listeners to the Big X, and people that want to know what's going on locally. And so we're excited to have Dugan, the owner of the station, join us here in just a little bit for, I'll call it, a programming announcement, and it begins today. At least it starts to begin today, and we'll tell you more about that. So stay with us for that coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk IU basketball, college football. Does it happen? That's kind of dominating a lot of the sports talk right now. And also we'll get caught up on IU football recruiting. A couple commitments, three now total in the class of 2021. Two have come in the last 3 or 4 days. And then finally, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, former coach, IHSAA Executive Board member representing the area. He joins me. We talk about no spring sports. We talk about how recruiting can be affected by not just the senior class, but the junior class as well, and more when Chad joins me in this segment. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a clean and pleasant atmosphere without the crowds and chaos at the grocery stores. Honey Baked Ham has several dinner bundles as well as their delicious ham and turkey for takeout. And again, this is the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana All-Stars on the boys' side have been announced, and let's go through them here. Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, 6'6". He'll play for Coach Steve Alford at Nevada. 15.4 points was his average this year, 2.3 blocks per game. Great senior year for Trey, and he's an Indiana All-Star. He was a player that we expected to be on the team. He does make the roster, and Trey Coleman, that's a big accomplishment, another local player named to the Indiana All-Stars. As expected, Indiana with some flavor on there as well as far as IU goes. Trey Galloway of Culver Academies and also Anthony Leal of Bloomington South, they both make the All-Star team. Now that we know the All-Stars, we should know Mr. Basketball very soon. That announcement normally comes almost hand-in-hand with the All-Star announcement. But good flavor of IU players, IU recruits, IU signees. Good flavor of Trey Coleman, a local player. Some other great players in there as well. DeAndre Davis from Lawrence Central that's going to Louisville. Some other college, high-level college players as normal as what we've grown to expect coming out of our state. So should be a very good all-star team if the games are played, as I said earlier. Also, IU football, a third commit recently over the weekend in the 2021 class. This is another in-state player. And it's Aaron Steinfeld of Bloomington North. He's a tight end, and he joins the IU recruiting class for 2021. Three commits, three in-state players. I mentioned on Friday the IU program had a commitment from a player from Valparaiso named Cooper Jones. The third commit, also an in-state player from Elkhart named Rodney McGraw. So far, as expected, you know, heavy, heavy local players. Normally when you start off a recruiting class, Indiana football with three so far in 2021. IU women's basketball reports a transfer will happen. Freshman forward Jory Allen, you might remember her and her family name from Bedford North Lawrence. Dad is the coach. She and some of her sisters have been great high school players, have went on to play college basketball. One of her sisters went to Michigan State, had a great career there, and is even playing overseas professionally on the women's side. But she's going to leave Indiana, and just a freshman, again, someone in-state, committed to Indiana, was there for a year, but will now leave the program. That will be interesting to see where she goes. Indiana's had a strong pipeline with players really in southern Indiana, to be quite honest, across the state in the area as well. One final reminder here in our headline segment, our virtual skills and drills program, day 10. It continues on this Monday. Today, it's Providence boys coach Ryan Miller, and he covers some ground, a lot of different things on our Monday video, a rip drive and a jump stop layup drill, great finishing moves, great moves to get to the basket and score. And if you know Coach Miller, you know that defense is very important to him. If you've ever seen any of his Providence teams play, and he works on some pretty, high level as far as a conditioning drill as well, defensive closeout drill. So if you've got a kid, it really doesn't matter the age. If they like basketball, if they want to get better at some fundamentals during this downtime, check it out today at facebook.com/Hoosier Hills Hoops. Again, facebook.com/Hoosier Hills Hoops. Providence coach Ryan Miller, he's the presenter today in this virtual skills and drills program. And we've had pictures and videos of players across the area come in that are going through these drills each day from a different high school coach. Pretty neat to see, and check out Coach Miller's of Providence today. That's our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Now let's jump into some Big X news. Dugan Ryan, the owner and general manager of the Big X, joins me live here on this Monday program to talk about some exciting, we think, programming changes that start later today here on the Big X Sports Radio. And Dugan, the best way I can set this up for you is that obviously we're in a completely different time right now. Sports is on a pause. The coronavirus is a real threat and a real concern, whether it's locally or across the globe. And on top of that, we're also in an election year, and it's going to be a crazy election because of the coronavirus and because really just of how the political landscape is in our climate today. And with that said, along those lines of news and politics and other very interesting areas of our world and of our country, you've got some new programming that starts this afternoon on the Big X.
Yes, sir, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it, and good morning to you. First of all, as a station, our number one go is to serve the local community, and we feel like we've done a very good job of that in the sports realm, carrying local play-by-play, even all the way down to the Little League level. We probably produce a couple hundred games a year between boys basketball, football. Our football coverage is covering about three games a week every Friday, and so we feel like we've done a good job of serving the local community. And once sports gets back, we'll be the play-by-play leader once again, and we're going to continue to do your show and our morning show. You know, that's a UK show, you're an IU show, so we feel like we kind of carved out these niches as we've gone along with play-by-play. And no one, you have the only IU-focused show in town, and the morning show is one of two Kentucky shows. We feel like there's two other sports talk stations named after Louisville, so that's always been a goal of ours, is to serve the part of the community that's not being served, and we feel like if you serve the community, the rest will kind of take care of itself. And we just feel like it's in the best interest for the station to shift gears and go a little bit more news talk. So I had the idea, or I started thinking about it, you know, the day that the Thursday that all this kind of went down, or I think the world realized it was going to be a big deal. We were set to carry an IU game, a Big Ten game, and the Big Ten tournament preceded by a Purdue game. And then, of course, we had the regional high school coverage planned that weekend. So we had a lot going on that weekend, and it all got canceled. And so I started thinking, you know, how bad is this going to get, and what can we do as a station to cover it, how it affects sports, number one, and number two, what can we do to cover the virus and bring more awareness. And I think part of the new normal when this is all over is people are going to pay a lot more attention to news talk, Matt. So beginning today at 1 o'clock, I got with a consultant friend of mine, and he recommended a bunch of shows to me and gave me a bunch of options. And I've been listening to more news talk than I ever have in my entire life in the last 2 weeks, really several hours a day, just listening to different shows. And I fell in love with two of them. And we're going to start airing both of those today. So beginning at 1 o'clock, we got Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. And this is a nationally syndicated show, and it does really, really well across the country. In some markets, it's even beating Rush Limbaugh. And it's not your typical news talk show. There's a Gen Xer and a baby boomer, and it's three different perspectives, and they have a good time. It's the funnest news talk show I've ever heard, and that's going to air from 1 to 3. And oh, by the way, Matt, we're going to continue to carry all the press conferences we have been carrying. We cover Governor Holcomb at 2:30 daily, and Andy Beshear at 5, and most days we carry Donald Trump's press conference. But in addition to doing all that, we're adding two new news talk shows, like I mentioned, Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. At 1, and then at 3, we're going to air Todd Schnitt. And Todd is doing his show from New York, so the epicenter of where all this is going on, and really kind of ground zero for the virus up there. He's doing his show from there. So I think it'll provide a unique perspective. And like I said, I think it's going to be a highly contested election season. And I think the new normal, I think we'll all pay a little closer attention to the news from here on out. Who knows what the new normal looks like, but I believe that's going to be one thing that we all do.
Talking with Dugan Ryan, he's owner and general manager of the Big X, and again, some new programming, news, politics-oriented, coming to the Big X in the afternoons and evenings, 1 o'clock, and then again later at 3 o'clock. We'll continue to cover the press conferences, Governor Holcomb in Indianapolis, Governor Beshear in Frankfort, and of course President Trump, the White House briefing as well, when we can fit it in with the local governors and their updates. Dugan, I know that one of the things with this program, we have a lot of local listeners, and yes, they like sports. That's why they're tuned in to the Hoosier Report to hear about Indiana and local sports here in the area. But one thing that we've talked about as we make this transition in the afternoons and evenings, again, especially right now with no play-by-play of any local sports, no Archie Miller show, no Coach Allen show on the football side. But one thing we've talked about is covering more local events, whether it's local elections, local events. Some of the things that years ago the Big X was always there for that mattered to people. And I know times have changed. I know that there's other ways to get your information and to track events, but this is not just a national thing that we're looking at here in the afternoon and evening. This is also a plan to bring some more local programming, not just sports, but other as well, to the Big X airwaves.
Yes, yes, sir, especially during this time. A lot more local news. Your show is even slanting. It's still sports and how the virus is affecting sports. But I know you've had some elected officials. Mayor Mike Moore has been on, and I know you plan to have Mayor Jeff Gahan on, and you have some Clark County health officials on. So I think we're gonna pay a little more attention to the local news as well, or a lot more attention, I should say, and like you said, covering other events going on in the local community.
Again, after this show, John Spears on sports in the noon hour. I really like this Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins crew. They'll be on at 1 o'clock, followed by the Schnitt Snow. We've got the Schnitt Show. I better say that right. We've got press conferences.
Yeah, be careful.
We've got press conferences from both governors, as this thing moves forward, and of course White House press briefings as we can get them on. They tend to overlap some with Governor Beshear over in Kentucky, so we have sometime the full thing, sometime bits and pieces of it. Dugan Ryan, owner, general manager of the Big X. Dugan, over the years, we've been around for a while now. We've made some big announcements on this program to the listeners, especially here in Southern Indiana, that follow all of our local sports coverage with myself and Lee Kelly and Zach McCride and others that make up our local sports team. So it's great to have you with us today. Excited to we all have a little more time, right, to listen to our favorite radio show, to watch a new television series, to go back and watch a classic IU game or an NBA Finals game you remember from your childhood. So I've listened to more radio, and it's enjoyable as I'm out and about going for a ride or doing something else work-related. So hopefully people, especially in this time, will tune in to hear. I wish I could say it was normalcy, but it's crazy times in our country. And so I think this will be a good fit. Very much look forward to hearing these guys starting this afternoon. And thanks for being with us today.
Me too, Matt. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Absolutely. Dugan Ryan, owner, general manager of the Big X. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins starting after Spears on Sports today at 1 o'clock, followed by the Schnitt Show later in the day. Lots of interesting takes coming your way right here on the Big X. That's segment one. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, let's see here. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU basketball. College football, does it happen this year? Lots of thoughts out there about that. And an update on IU football recruiting as well. Indiana now with three commits, two in the last week or less to the IU program in the class of 2021. We'll do that and more with Zach next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins in this segment. As always, on Mondays as we talk IU basketball and more. And I want to start with more today, IU football. I was just mentioning in the first segment the number of commitments recently. A couple came in last week for Indiana, one over the weekend, one late last week. But just now, as talking here with you, Zach, another commitment. It's an in-state commitment in the 2021 class has rolled in for Coach Allen and the IU Hoosiers on the football field.
Yeah, Vinny Fiacable. Both his brothers walked on at IU. I think I want to say both were quarterbacks, but he's an offensive lineman, and I'll admit I don't know a lot about him. I think Indiana maybe just offered him in the last couple weeks. But he's actually Indiana's third commitment in pretty quick succession here. All of Indiana's commitments in 2021 so far have come in state, and three of the last four have committed in the last 4 days. Cooper Jones from Valparaiso, Aaron Steinfeld from Bloomington North, and Vinny Fiacable from Bishop Dwinger. I think, number one, this is not going to be a large class for Indiana in terms of numbers. They don't have many seniors. Obviously, you always can expect a little bit of attrition. Somebody transfers, a freshman comes in, realizes maybe they're a little homesick or they don't have the role they thought they would, whatever. But I still, I haven't heard Tom Allen put an exact figure on it, but I don't expect it to be a very large class. I mean, last year, Indiana, I think, wound up with maybe 20-ish players if you include graduate transfers. And I'm not even sure that this year's class will get to be as big as – or next year's class will get to be as big as last year's class, so to speak. But I think that, I'm always intrigued when I see Indiana adding big bodies. And if you look at least at what these guys are listed, according to their 24/7 sports profiles, Cooper Jones, 6'6", 245, Rodney McGraw, the defensive end from Elkhart Central, who committed back in January, 6'5", 223, Aaron Steinfeld, the tight end at Bloomington North, 6'5", 230, Vinny Fiacable, I think the expectation is he'll be an interior offensive lineman, 6'4", 290. I will say this until I'm blue in the face. Indiana starts winning games against Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State, maybe not all the time, but becomes more consistently able to finish, let's say, at least one of those upsets every year or one of those upsets every couple of years when it can win the battle in the trenches, because you only have to look back, for example, to the Michigan game and the way Indiana lost the Michigan game in November as easy proof of how much of a difference it makes when you can protect a quarterback against a six-man rush, and how much of a difference it makes when you can consistently get to the other team's quarterback with only four or five. It sounds simplistic, but it is true. It will hold true for 99% of cases in college football. And obviously, just these guys being tall by itself does not, fix your problems. But if we talk about recruiting as a quantity game and the idea that you'll have some individual misses, you'll have some gems and some busts, but typically in the aggregate, the teams that recruit well year over year perform most of the time about to the level of their recruiting. Indiana adding some of these guys that, bring you the big moldable athletic bodies that give you the opportunity to maybe match up with a Penn State or a Michigan or a Michigan State. Obviously Ohio State's a little bit of a different animal, but a Nebraska, a Wisconsin, I guess maybe not Nebraska, Indiana beat Nebraska last year, but I'm kind of losing myself in this answer. You get what I'm saying. Adding these bodies is an important next step for IU.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, my guest, starting with some IU football recruiting as Indiana just picked up another commitment as we were on the air with today's program. Along the lines of college football, I know that that's kind of a big sports talk topic and discussion right now, is everybody giving their opinion. Does college football happen? Are fans there? Is the season played at all? If schools continue to cancel on-campus events like Indiana and many others have, even putting summer school online with no one on campus or in on-campus housing. Obviously, that affects sports and football in a huge way. I know that some coaches have commented on this during press conferences, which are all virtual now. And I know that last week Indiana had some sort of a virtual opportunity to hear from some players. I'm curious, did the football season and its ability or the thoughts on whether it will be played, whether it will be played at normal, whether it will be played at all, did it come up with any players or with Coach Allen? And also on top of that, what are your thoughts? I know no one knows exactly what this virus is going to do. Everyone has different predictions and different models on when it could reach its pinnacle. And of course, we all know there are some tough days ahead when it comes to health and even deaths here in our country and in our state. But your thoughts on that, and did that come up at all last week in that virtual teleconference, media conference with players and others?
Yeah, no, it didn't. Sorry, I'm letting my dog inside. It didn't really come up when we talked to Tom Allen. I think that may have actually been 2 weeks ago, although to be fair to everyone, I think all of our weeks are bleeding together. I honestly can't tell you which Monday teleconference was which Zoom call was which. I mean, listen, I think everybody understands that it's all just speculation at this point. And, you know, I think the one thing that's important is for people to be ready, and that can be difficult because that probably requires you to plan out as many as maybe a dozen different scenarios. But just be ready for almost anything as much as is humanly possible. Anyway, I think, you know, the difficult thing, or well, I shouldn't say the difficult thing, like there aren't 1,000 difficult things that we're all facing right now. Even in just talking about sports, is how do the logistics work, depending upon the progress, both of course, of COVID-19 and also on the progress of our sort of, you know, treatments for it, our ability to combat it, because, you know, if we can, and please understand, this is just my armchair research, listening to people who are a lot smarter than I am, people who've worked for, you know, the FDA, the National Institutes for Health, the Mayo Clinic, places like that. If we can get to a place where, you know, it peaks, and that'll be, you know, by all accounts, that alone will be terrible. You know, sort of viewing for the country just to watch that happen, and it will be very tragic. But if we can get to a point where there is a peak, and then we can come down the other side with a more sort of aggressive model for testing and tracing and, you know, isolating and treating individual cases before they can kind of explode into communities, and, you know, the ability to spot outbreaks before they get big, like, for example, what's, of course, happening in places like New York and New Orleans. Basically, I think a lot of people point to South Korea as a good model for that. And then if that buys us the time to get to a point where we can at least come up with some treatment, I think everyone seems to think a vaccine is going to be a year or more away at this point. But, you know, then potentially we could start to phase back into something looking more like normal life. But then from sports perspective, you know, there's a difference between normal life and my wife being able to go back to her, you know, 4-person or 5 or 6-person office, and us being comfortable packing 75,000 people into a stadium for, you know, 4.5 hours on a Saturday afternoon in October. You know, and then there's all sorts of questions about whether or not the virus could die down in the summer in partial, you know, in part because of the weather, and then rally sort of the way the flu does, where it's big in the fall, winter, early spring, and then it kind of goes away and comes back. You know, there are some sports that I think are provisionally talking about trying to get things together. You know, I think golf is one where it wouldn't be terribly hard for people to compete while practicing a level of social distancing. Probably fans wouldn't be able to be there at this point, but you could at least maybe get a small number of golfers onto the course, you know, to do certain things, you know, and at least give us, frankly, something to watch. You know, my affection for soccer. There's talk in England basically trying, if the virus dies down and the strain on the national health system is, you know, contained, there's talk of essentially taking all of the teams and their players and their coaches and the referees and anyone who would be needed and just quarantining them away for 2 months and just sort of playing a sprint to the end of the season so they can at least get this season completed. So from a contractual perspective, everything is honored. Broadcast revenues can be distributed. Contracts can be paid out. And, you know, you don't have to go through this massive legal tangle if you just cancel the season of saying, well, who owes who money back? You know, do certain results count but others don't? Therefore, can certain contracts be honored but others can't? But I still do think that we're a long way from even having a roadmap to getting back to what we would talk about as quote-unquote normal sports, even if there's a way in which potentially we could, you know, sort of reopen the country in the ability for you or I, you know, to go, you know, go sit in a restaurant and eat a meal, you know, that kind of thing. Obviously, you know, the important things to say are, number one, there are a lot of smart people working on these questions, because if nothing else, they don't have a lot else to do at the moment. And number two, this is all changing, you know, daily. So we have, you know, just a complete inability to do anything other than just basically come up with, like I said, I mean, literally a number of plans, all kind of preparing for whatever eventualities that we can think of with regard to what we'll do for, you know, one outcome versus another.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. My guest, Zach, always joins Monday as we talk IU basketball and more. And that's where I want to finish up today with a quick basketball question. You know, it seems like every day some program, I know Kentucky's had two in the last couple of days, declare for the NBA, which obviously, you know, that's an elite level of talent, players that are going to leave the program early to try that out. I think Trace Jackson Davis is a possibility, although he said, and I think most people believe he's back for at least one more year in Bloomington. But there's other recruiting activities. The transfer portal has still been going wild, even in this down period where everything else is basically shut down. But from a recruiting perspective, from a transfer perspective, really from all perspectives, unless I'm missing it, I'm just not seeing Indiana mentioned by any of these graduate transfers or people that have entered the transfer portal as even a possibility. And again, the only real recruiting news I can think of from an IU perspective is a few weeks ago, Archie Miller and staff issued a scholarship offer to a 2021 player that plays prep school ball up east. Not a lot of movement, at least that we're aware of. I'm sure coaches are on the phone. I mentioned last week there was a story that came out, a Q&A with Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek, where he said that Tom Ostrom had called him 14 or 15 days or FaceTimed him, it was, 14 or 15 days in a row. So obviously these coaches are doing everything they can right now from a contact perspective and working the angles that they can. But as far as publicly or information or new offers or newsworthy stuff, there's not been a lot out now for a number of weeks on the recruiting front, whether that be high school players, junior college players, transfers, graduate transfers, whatever it could be.
Yeah, I mean, it's first of all, it's obviously tricky to you know, figure out a way forward in recruiting. I know we just talked about football recruiting. I think football recruiting can tend to be a little bit more kind of segmented. And what I mean by that is there are maybe more natural points in the calendar where you'll see waves of commitments, you know, kids who want to commit while they're still in their junior year, kids who will wait till after the summer camp circuit, kids who will wait until right before their senior season, kids who will wait until after their senior season. Basketball can be a little bit more piecemeal that way, where it can just sort of be when a guy's ready, he decides and he commits. I do wonder, and I think I've said this to you before, I know I said it to others, whether or not we will just in a number of sports see kids. And I do, you know, sort of wonder, and of course I'd have to ask them, and maybe I should, cause I'm a reporter and that's my job. If some of these kids that committed to IU's football program in these last few days, just sort of said, well, I can't take visits, I can't go to camps, Indiana's camps are canceled for the summer. I would imagine that's the case for a number of programs around the country right now. I think Ohio State's done the same. If I don't have all of these kind of natural sort of entry points, or maybe it's better to call them exit points for committing, then maybe I should just make my decision and go with what I'm most comfortable with right now. From IU basketball's perspective, you know, again, there's a couple moving parts in play. If Christian Lander reclassifies, then Indiana's full up for next season, unless somebody else leaves, you know, be it for the NBA or a professional future of some kind, or be it as a transfer. We've not heard anything really about that thus far. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis is a potential one, although, you know, as you said, he's kind of had some comments in the past that suggested he would be strongly considering a return for sophomore season. He also, you know, just anecdotally, if you look at mock drafts, if you look at, you know, top 100 lists, if you talk to people around the league, he's not quite at that caliber yet. And that's not to say that it wouldn't be advantageous for him to at least declare and get some feedback. But then I guess you maybe also ask what that process looks like, you know, this year, if you can't arrange workouts and, you know, what if there's no combine, all those different sorts of things. So I think that you kind of could wind up in a situation where part of the reason that none of this is happening is because, or at least where there's almost kind of this slowdown, is because the calendar has effectively just kind of been canceled. And so it's really much more up to individual kids when they want to make decisions. And from a program like Indiana's perspective, if they're full up for next season and they're going to leave that spot open for Christian Lander, of course they are, then they're probably not going to get involved in the grad transfers unless or until they have a need because somebody leaves or something else moves. From the perspective of offering kids and things like that, you know, you might want to be a little bit more targeted with that potentially, because you might wind up in a situation where you offer a kid and he says, you know what, I've been to campus a couple times, I like it there, I'm just going to go ahead and pull the trigger. And then with basketball too, specifically, it's also important to remember that Indiana is only expected to lose two seniors next year. Now, of course, they could lose transfers, they could lose NBA players, whatever. But what if Christian Lander doesn't reclassify or can't reclassify? Well, then at that point, one of your two scholarships for 2021 is spoken for, and you're presumably going to want to leave the other one open for Trey Kaufman, at least until, you know, you're confident in what his decision will be and whether or not it'll involve you. My point is simply that, you know, I think everybody's just kind of having to be a little bit more kind of relaxed about this and a little bit more willing to take this as it comes, and just kind of, I don't want to say figure things out on the fly, because coaches are still going to be plotting out schedules, communicating, as you said, making plans as best they can. But, you know, understanding that this isn't going to be a normal recruiting cycle. It's not going to work the same way. You're not going to see, you know, sort of the same maybe segments of time yielding the same processes that they normally would. And so if you're Indiana, I think, you know, the best thing you can do is stay relatively nimble.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. Zach, as always, thanks for the chat. Stay healthy, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a quick commercial break. Back to talk local sports, no spring sports. One of the topics with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director, also IHSA executive board member. He joins us in the next segment. Also, we have our spring senior spotlight. We've been doing this each day, recognizing a local senior that had their senior sports season taken away here this spring. And today we'll be spotlighting Anna Graves of Silver Creek High School, girls tennis player. Lots to tell you about her coming up in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment. Chad Gilbert joining us here in just a moment. We also have our spring senior spotlight. Anna Graves, girls tennis player from Silver Creek, will tell you all about her impressive resume coming up as we close out the show today. Chad, welcome in. What a time. We now officially know that school is out for the remainder of the year due to this coronavirus situation. And a byproduct of that is spring sports, abbreviated regular season that people were hoping for, state tournament series. Those are all gone as well. This is just absolutely unprecedented times when you think about some of the things, both local stuff like high school events, high school sports, all the way up the food chain in sports to the biggest, most high dollar driven things out there have been canceled from the NCAA tournament all the way down to spring sports here in Southern Indiana.
Matt, first off, on a lighter note, I feel young. I feel excited. I got up to earbuds in. I got my son some earbuds. Man, I looked in the mirror. I'm so fat, though. I've eaten so many cookies, I can't even see them around my cheeks, Matt. My cheeks are so fat. But Amy wanted to know why, when there's nothing to talk about, sport-wise, I get 12 minutes of talking. But when there's all kinds of stuff, I get 8 minutes of talking on the air. Amy is awfully concerned of that. We need to have a Zoom conference between me, you, and her and discuss these things.
Well, we got more time now, so it gives you your opportunity to get on your political grandstand for an extra 4 minutes.
And a few shout-outs, right?
Absolutely.
But anyhow, awful time, Matt. I mean, it's awful time for our seniors, for our kids in general. You know, and it's easy to say this, you know, coaches don't care, ADs, everybody cares. We got a niece, you know, my niece lived with me. She's a senior at Austin this year. You know, no prom, no graduation, no senior track year, all that stuff. But you got to put it in perspective. You know, we got to save lives. This stuff is huge, you know, and the ramifications that it has, not just on our senior athletes, but their parents, their grandparents. You know, graduation, you think about graduation. What comes to graduations, Matt? Grandparents. Who's the coronavirus target? Old people. So, you know, that's what. That's one thing that you got to think about. And this thing could change our landscape for years to come. You know, if your first football game last year was 10,000, do you think it's going to be a 10,000 gate this year? You know, people say, I've been cooped up, whatever else. At the end of the day, are you going to take that risk? You know, you could be looking at a $4,000 gate. And, you know, as far as the spring ending, you know, again, it's tough. But what about the summer? You know, all these teams, you've got a league at New Albany. That's money that was coming in. You think there's going to be a summer? I don't know. Going forward with the circuit, the AAU circuit, you know, and just to put things in perspective, do you think at the big house in Michigan, the first weekend in September, they're going to have 120,000 strong in there? I don't think so. I don't think so. And, you know, even on the Derby, you know, the Derby has been postponed. Will it go on? You think there's going to be people in that infield? I mean, this stuff's crazy times. Now, I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there isn't. But I am saying there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward.
Talking with Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown High School's athletic director. He's a former coach in the area and also currently the IHSA executive board member that represents our area too. How tough of a decision, and I guess really the decision was made for the IHSA and for other state governing bodies that had to do similar things, I think most have canceled their spring sports, maybe a few holding on hope in the middle part of the country. But I guess in a way, Governor Holcomb's decision is the tough one to do the right thing, to keep schools closed, to keep kids from away from each other, keep the spread of COVID-19 from, you know, possibly even spreading quicker when you get kids that might be asymptomatic, might not even know they have it, keep them away. But that decision is what triggered ultimately there to be no spring sports. So I guess I was going to ask about a tough decision for the committee, for the commissioner, for some of the staff, but really the decision was made for them. When school was closed for the year, there's just no way you can justify having any sort of sporting event, whether there are public fans there or not.
Absolutely, Matt. And Governor Holcomb made a tough decision. But Governor Holt could make the right decision. There's no question about that. The IHSA, you think about that. They, we wanted kids to, you know, excel in education-based athletics. You don't want the kids to have their senior years. But you talked about financial hits. The IHSA taking a huge financial hit when it comes to the boys' basketball tournament, all the spring sports. You know, like Zach said earlier, IU, Ohio State have shut down for camps. You know, teams coming in, going to team camps. Those are those coaches' income, that director of basketball operations, that video coordinator. Those are those guys' income going away. You know, so these things are not easy issues at all for people to take. You know, and I hope people understand the seriousness of this coronavirus and, you know, they practice social distancing. And most importantly, stay at home.
Chad Gilbert joining me as we always talk local sports in this segment. You touched on the fall. Great point on if fall sports happen, you rely on some big gates, some of those big rivalry football games at Charlestown, as do all the athletic directors across the area, across the state. It doesn't matter where you're at. Certain sports and certain communities, certain games, you know you can count on helping fund an entire season maybe, or helping fund maybe a whole different sport in a whole nother season. But how confident are you right now with where this thing is at, with all the twists and turns that this virus has taken, all the things that shut down, and where potentially it could go that we have football next year? Because you can't just walk out onto the football field when they say all clear, we're not going to let any fans in maybe, but we're going to let the kids play football. It's part of the academic experience. It's not a sport you can just walk out there, pick up the ball, and pick up anywhere close to where you left things off. There's a lot of training and buildup to the first game. Teams have two-a-days in the blazing heat. There's a reason they do that, to build up toughness, to build up muscles, and to be ready to take some of those hits. Otherwise, it would be, you know, injury galore. So how confident are you right now? I'm not, that spring or that fall sports, as we look ahead to what's next once we get through the summer from a high school perspective with the IHSA. How confident are you that that happens?
You know, there's too many twists and turns in that, Matt, to think about that at this point. You just got to hope for the best. I don't have DraftKings. I don't go the boat. I don't go the racetrack. I don't bet. So I wouldn't bet on this for sure. But you just don't know how things go, depending on these twists and turns on this one. I think it's something that everyone is held at the coronavirus's mercy right now. And, you know, you just got to take it day by day, practice social distancing, listen to our doctors, listen to our leaders, and make sure you understand it's a bigger picture. You know, you think about this, the effects it's having on ADs, you know, who don't have coaches in place. Jeffersonville's got a boys and girls basketball position open. Charleston has a cheer position open. We have a girls soccer position open. You know, those are things that people are getting antsy about, getting excited about, unsure about moving forward. But it's one of those things that, again, you're at the mercy of the coronavirus. If you get a coach in place, what is that coach going to be allowed to do? You know, it's not like that. You can go and get your teams together. And you talked about football in two-a-days. Think about weightlifting. The guys under the squat rack or bench press. You can't have 6 foot social distancing from there. You got to be there to spot them in case something would go away. And that's something, you know, that your weight training and everything is all affected by this.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, former coach, IHSA executive board member. Chad, tell Amy, tell the kids we said hello, and always look forward to it on Mondays. We'll try to carve out a couple extra minutes next week so we can get into what you guys have been up to, and maybe what good meals Amy
Matt,
has cooked during the quarantine.
Let's do movie reviews. I've been watching some movies, some Netflix shows. Maybe we can do some reviews on here. A couple of things, you know, on a brighter note. Love your family. You know, appreciate everything that you've got now. Use this time to go back to how we grew up. Matt, last thing I do want to hit you on, the virtual skills and drills is awesome. And if people are hungry, you know, watch what BJ McAllister's cooking on his new grill. That'll make you want to go at it. There's my shameless shout out of the day, and then BJ's food.
There you go. Chad Gilbert. Chad, thanks. We'll catch up with you next week.
Good talking to you, Matt.
We close the program out each day, and this is going to be for the foreseeable future. We've had so many great submissions, nominations, whatever you want to call it, for our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes that basically have had their senior spring season ripped away because of this COVID-19 pandemic. And so many great responses. We encourage them to come in from across southern Indiana. We're going to get them all on. We may even have to go to two a day here soon to get them all on in a reasonable time frame. Make sure you submit them. You can nominate them. You can follow me on Twitter. Send me information about them. A lot of them I've known, interviewed, covered, but we want to recognize them at least a final time, since they're not going to get any recognition on the field, on the court, on the track this spring. And we have another great female athlete here in the area to recognize today. Our senior spotlight today, Anna Graves of Silver Creek High School, girls tennis standout, career record at number one and number two singles. She's 52-11 in her high school career. She's a three-time All-Mid-Southern Conference tennis player. In 2018 and 2019, she was All-District and All-State honorable mention. And in 2019, she advanced to the individual state tournament quarterfinals, where she lost to the eventual state champion from Indianapolis Cathedral. She's also very strong academically as well. In 2017 and 2018, she was a member of the team Academic All-State, ranked third in her senior class of 202 students at Silver Creek, and she's got a GPA over her 4 years at this point of 3.994. That is absolutely outstanding, and she's got a terrific SAT score, 1,320. Her SAT score. Some interesting information about Anna. She was adopted from China when she was 11 months old. She enjoys traveling and seeing new places, as well as helping with the YFCA and her church. She'd like to give some shout-outs to coaches that she has had throughout her career: Bob Sutherland, Matt Coomer, Carlos Jimenez, Alec Bates, and Ben Albrand. He's the Silver Creek girls coach. They all have helped her grow and develop as a player, she says. Anna is the daughter of Scott and Kimber Graves, and she plans to continue her academic and athletic career at Grace College right here in Indiana, where she will double major in math and actual science. And yes, she is going to play tennis at the college level. Congratulations, Anna. What an unbelievable tennis career and time you've had at Silver Creek High School. We all join today in recognizing you for a great high school career from freshman year on. Sorry about, obviously, the tennis season being canceled, but this is an outstanding athlete to recognize here in our area with all of her accomplishments, both on the tennis court and off the tennis court as well. Anna Graves, girls tennis standout at Silver Creek High School. That's our senior spotlight for today. That's our show for today. Thanks so much for being with us. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m., live right here on the Big X. I'm back with you Tuesday. We have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, and more coming your way. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.